we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, Lord, we ask, just take your servant, Father, and use it. Lord, that we might gain from these scriptures, from the that you have left us, that we might gain that which we need. Give us assurance, Father, that your almighty hand is with us. We ask you to take over now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And amen. Paul, in his writing, was telling the peoples a little bit about himself, about how that he, as he came to them, as we was talking about in our Sunday school lesson, that as Paul was making these connections to the churches, he came as a person that was interested in the peoples. He wasn't interested in a big name. He wasn't interested in building himself up as we find today. Just about anywhere you go, you'll find that big name preachers, evangelists, or whatever, they have a rating, a ranking. They're number one in the world, or they're number two or whatever, but they got a ranking up on them. Who ranked them? Who is to say who is number one or who is number two? Because the message is what is important, not the man that's delivering it. It doesn't make any difference. Paul was telling them, he said that he had all kinds of education, that he could have come with excellency of speech, he could have come with fancy words and all this, that, and the other, and probably confused everybody. He could have done that, but he did not. He came with a very, very simple message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was His message. That is the only message that you need to hear. It doesn't make any difference what else you want to believe, this, that, or the other thing, but all else hinges around Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As we discussed in our Sunday school lesson, they are out now to bring on this theory that there is another way, that you can get to heaven without going through Jesus Christ, and it is a bunch of what? Baloney. It's not true. In the Bible he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No man except the Father. Only through Jesus Christ can you make it. Don't listen to all this garbage that's going on out there in the world, because it's not. This was the message that Paul was preaching. It wasn't something confusing. You know, I'm amazed today when I turn on some of these or attend some of these meetings that we have around, and folks, I'm sorry, but some of our conference leaders and all this, they puffed up, you know, they got great education, they went to all these high-class colleges, seminaries, and whatever, and they learned great big fancy words that I don't understand. They use all this, and they don't do a whole lot but confuse people, when the message that they should be bringing, and that I should be bringing, and you should be bringing, is Jesus Christ And that's all. We don't need anything else. We don't. Paul was telling them, he didn't come, he didn't, as we talked, he did not come to these churches with a open pocket saying, I need your money. You know, today, you turn on your television and you pick your favorite preacher, I don't care who he is, and the bottom line of the whole thing is, my name and address where you send your cash.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, let me tell you, if the whole world was as much concerned about people being lost as they are about filling their pockets, then it would be a different place. Paul was not obliged to any of the churches he went. He did not go there with the intentions of cleaning house. I was one time back years and years ago when we were really active with our singing group, and one of the groups that we were listening to at the time was setting up and practicing, you know, like they usually do. And I heard the leader of that group say, I wonder how much money we can take out of this church. Well, he just as well throwed a whole bucket of cold water on me, because I knew what he was out for. He was out to make the Almighty buck. It takes money to operate, but God will supply our every need. We don't have to beg for it. Paul was telling them here, as he spoke, that he came preaching. He didn't come, as I said, with enticing words. But you know, he gets down there in that, a little further down, and he speaks here of a mystery. What's mystery?
Something you can't explain.
Something you can't explain? Mystery? It's something that we just don't know about, isn't it? You know, back from the very beginning, probably as far back as you can trace, you'll find that there's been a mystery. I don't believe that there's ever been a person upon this earth that didn't know within his mind, heart, soul, or whatever it is, that there is a greater power. There is a greater being than we ourselves. There's something. Friend, we don't even know what it is ourselves. We don't know what drives us. But you can go back through time, way back into the cavemen's time or what have you, and you see the writings on the wall, the little pictures that they made and all this, that, and the other thing, that it's a mystery. But they're saying there's something there that's greater than we. They know it because it was instilled by God within every one of us. This, when God breathed that breath of life into us, we became what? A living soul. Praise the Lord. We became a living soul, a part of God that was placed within us, and boy, we want to get back to it. I don't care how vile you are. I don't care how much corruption you've been into. I don't care what a mean and nasty person you are, yet with deep within you, you know that there is something. There is something. There's something. It's a mystery. We don't know what it is. Nobody can explain it. Nobody has ever explained it. But there's something there. You know, we think we got the answer. Yeah. But you get out your history book or whatever it is you read, and as we were traveling out west, we see out there on the some of the stones, the little markings and the little figures that the Indians had put on these stones. Well, you see, they knew about God. They did. They knew that there was a God. To them, it was just as real to them as it is to you today. It was just as real. Maybe they didn't understand it exactly like we do. They didn't have the word, maybe, to read and to follow and tell all about it. They didn't have that. But yet they knew, because it was instilled within them. That was inside it. What a force it is. But they knew that there was something there. And they're trying to get back to it. Well, when you and I were just little fellas, we just freshly hatched, we just little guys, just as safe and just as pure as anyone could possibly be. If you were to leave this world, as a lot of the little ones have, they're just as safe as if they were in the Almighty's hand at the very time. Okay. But what happens a little later when we start getting a lot of head knowledge? We start thinking that we know it all. You know, we're learning, you know. Then we get to thinking, and up jumps the devil. And we find that we're guilty. We call it, I think Baptist calls it, the age of accountability. Is that what they call it? Something like that. But anyhow, it's that time that you realize that we need something more than we are. It's beyond us. No person, none, have ever come into this world and left this world without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you don't agree with that? No. Okay. God visits everyone. I don't care how mean, vile, or whatever it is, He does visit everyone. They know. They don't hear it, and they don't adhere to it, but they know it, because God speaks to every creature, everyone, even to your kitty cats, even to your dog, even to your animals. He controls them all. Not the same way, but he controls you and I. Yes, if you'll remember the day you were saved. Anybody? Can you remember it? The occasion? Huh? You can't? Well, maybe you wasn't saved. Maybe it didn't happen. You know? Yeah. I don't know. But let me tell you that when God spoke to this lad, I knew I had to make a decision right then and right. I had the choice. I could have got right up out of my seat and turned around and walked right out that door. Lost. Dead. Died. But I knew right then that what I had to do, and I made my way to the altar. And I met Jesus for the first time. I thought I knew Him before. I heard about Him. I heard my mom talk about Him. I heard the Sunday school teacher talk about Him. I heard the preacher preach about Him. I'd heard all this. Boy, I had that head knowledge. Yeah, I knew all about Jesus, who He was, and how He walked the shores of Galilee, and how He done all the miracles. I knew all that, yeah. But I didn't know Him. So you see, I had a choice right then and there. And when I came forward and knelt at that altar, brother, did I meet Him. Ah, Wow. It was just like Paul when he was out there on the road to Damascus when that bright light came upon him. When he touched me, he filled me from the very tippy top right out to the toes. It felt like a burning fire was in me, and I was changed right then and right there. I wasn't no better. Nothing better in me. But what he done was in me. He instilled within me. He stirred that which I was seeking all them years. And it's just like all these peoples that have gone on. They were searching. It was that mystery they were searching out. I found it. I know what that mystery is. That mystery is Jesus Christ. If Oprah says there's another way, she's hurting. She's a hurting, I'm telling you. Yes, if our big old president of the United States sits back in that White House and say that there's another way, he's hurting. Let me tell you, that I received at the altar of prayer was real. It was fire. And it went through me just like a fire from the top to the bottom. Well, it was the very best feeling I ever had in the world, and that includes my wife. Yeah, it was the best feeling I ever had in this world. Different. A newness. Something that I had never experienced before. It was that mystery. It came upon me like whammy. Your life is never the same. Baptist, once saved, always saved. Woo-hoo! Look out. But let me tell you, that he anointed me with that night at that altar will never go away. It will be with me till the grave, till the end of time, and on far beyond that. Yes, it will be. I can't take it off. Because I accepted what Jesus Christ gave me. You know, folks, as I said, I knew about Jesus. Sure, I'd read in the book. Had a good old Sunday school teacher that, boy, she just devoted her whole life to get us kids to learn about Jesus. Knew that. Yep. And it was exciting. The Word, yes. Read the book and read about all those miracles that he'd done, how he fed all them people with just little feces and bread, and how he healed them people. The blind man could see, the lame could walk. All this exciting. It was. And I knew that. But I wasn't right. It wasn't until I bowed and said, Lord, I'm helpless. I can't do anything. I'm nothing. And I knew it. That's when he can touch. It's when we give up and say, Lord, take me. There's people probably sitting right within this congregation this morning that is in exactly the same spot that I was in those years. Know about Jesus Christ, but never really had that personal experience where we give our lives to Him and allow Him to just to pour that Holy Spirit upon us. Yes. Maybe sitting right here this morning deceived by thinking that, yes, I'm all right. You see, if I would have been all right back there then, then I would not have had to accept what He had for me. The best feeling that I ever had was the night I bowed and gave my heart to Jesus. Wow. It was good. And it'll last throughout eternity. When this life is over, and I laid it just, yesterday, the day before, been working outside. And I don't know whether I overdone it or whether I underdone it or whatever, but I started having them pains, you know, in there. Real sharp. And I hadn't had that before. I didn't know what it was. Still don't know what it was. But I says, Lord, is this it? If it is, praise God. Yes. If it ain't not, quit making me hurt. Point is this. When you got Jesus Christ in your life, if you have had that Holy Spirit anointing, if you have had that which is a mystery, mystery down through the ages, if you have had that applied to your life, you're safe, regardless of what comes along. It doesn't make any difference. And it's going to get worse. If you have not, then you are lost. Just plain and simple. There's no other way. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to God except Jesus Christ. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and He sits there on the right hand to make intercession for you and I. Without going through Him, you can't get to God, which is one. So if they think there is another way, if you think there is another way, that a good person is going to make it, you've got another thing to come. If you have not been saved, truly saved, and the Holy Spirit has not really cleansed your heart, has not come upon you like that spirit of fire, if you have not, then you are lost. And if Christ would return for His church today, you are not going. You're going to be left behind to go through hell. Yes, here on earth. Tough preaching. But I think it's time we got tough. I think it's time we quit playing around. I think it's time that we either fess up, get up, go up, whatever. It's time that we acknowledge God and quit playing church. We need to be on our knees more. There is so much sickness. I look around my congregation and listen every day. It just seems like it's pouring on us. It seems like we're a hospital. It seems like that it's just coming up on us. Why? Why is this so? It's so devastating to all of us. Why is these things coming up on us? Is it for disobedience? May very well be. I'm not to judge. But I'll tell you one thing. If we're not obedient to what God has told us to do, if we're not obedient, if we're not willing to fall upon our knees and pray, if we're not willing to do that, then all kinds of things can happen to us. I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just telling you facts. You look back through the Bible times and you see where people were, and this was, who has sinned? Who has sinned, him or his parents? Well, every one of us holds an account for ourselves. I do not account for you. You do not account for me. We're on our own. Tough preaching. Yes, it is tough preaching. And I don't like to do it. I'd much rather stand up here and treat you a nice, rosy, what you want to hear, sermon. Yeah, it's goody-goody, it's all this, that, and the other. Fill the house. And watch you go to hell. No way. No way. You'll hear it straight. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He died that we could live. He died that we can solve this mystery. That we can go to the Father. That we can enjoy Him here. Yes, that our joy may be full right here and now. If we but just be obedient. Or we can keep on going and deceiving ourselves into thinking everything just fine. We'll be just fine. And when the trumpet sounds and the church is called, how many will be left sitting in the pews saying, I'm just fine. Father, we ask, O God, that you just look down upon us. Forgive us, O God, if we have failed you. Lord, give us courage just to stand and proclaim your holy name. We ask you, God, to search our heart. And Lord, remind us, Father, of what we must do to be saved. We ask you, God, to give us not a false confidence, but give us an assurance, Lord, that we have all things right with thee. Help us, O God. Forgive us, Lord, for our mistakes. And Lord, if we have said anything here this morning, Lord, that isn't true, convict us of it. But Lord, if your word is true, then we ask you, God, to trouble hearts, to convict souls, to make us, O God, where we need to be this morning. Help us, Lord, because we're so helpless without you. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. So we stand and sing our song of invitation. If God has touched you in any way, if there's a need in the house this morning, pray much.